You're here in our midst tonight, Lord, just as you promised in your word. God, we pray that tonight you would be speaking, Lord, and that we would be listening to you, Lord, receive something from you, Lord. We pray that in your name. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about trust, as you may have guessed. And to start that off, I want to show you guys a really beautiful passage in Jeremiah. So Daniel, could we go to Jeremiah 17? We'll be reading through verses 5 to 8. So, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. All of us, as we go through our lives, we're faced with a lot of challenges. We're faced with obstacles. A lot of the time, we're faced with decisions. We're faced with hard times. We're faced with times where things were supposed to go a certain way, and they go the other. And in those times, all of us have our trust in something or someone. And here we have a picture. We have a picture of those whose trust is placed in people, and those whose trust is placed in God. Let's look at the passage carefully. For the people who trust in man, what we see is that ultimately there is no source of life in their life. They're like in a desert. It's like being in a desert. There's ultimately no true strength or power or joy or abundance. It's just a desert. But for those who trust in God, it's like being a tree planted by water. And trees planted by waters, do you know what happens to the roots? Who here studied plant biology? Yeah, that's right. So the roots actually go towards water. And if a tree's right by a stream, its roots go so deep and they branch out in all these directions to get all of the waters, all the water around it. Because of the water's continual flow, all of these rich kind of minerals and stuff in the soil, they're deposited on the riverbank. And those trees, super, super healthy. That's a picture that actually Jeremiah here uses to paint of what it's like to be someone who trusts in the Lord. It's like this incredibly lush, beautiful green tree. And never fails to bear fruit. That no matter what happens, that tree is always flourishing and is always producing other good things. So my question is this. If you don't trust in God, does that mean good things will never happen to you? Hands up yes, hands up no. Yeah, let's look at the passage. It says that they will not see prosperity when it comes. Prosperity comes, but you actually don't see it. Do you know that there are a lot of people in the world today who are very wealthy, who are very famous, who have all of the things together on paper? You know, they have a penthouse in Manhattan and they're just like the president. You know, they are married to Kanye West, and they have their own fashion designer brand. They have all these things together, and yet in spite of that, they're not happy. And if you ask them, hey, are you happy? Hey, do you see yourself as having a prosperous, happy life? They may say yes, but in their heart of hearts, it's a no. Does anyone know who Marilyn Monroe is? Very, very famous, beautiful person before all of us were born. And she committed suicide. In spite of having everything together, being famous, being beautiful, being young, having all this money, having all these connections, there's rumors that, you know, she had a romantic relationship with the most handsome president in US history, JFK. You know, in spite of all of that, emptiness, and she committed suicide. Do you know that the people who don't trust in the Lord, that don't have a relationship with God, they may have prosperity coming to them, but in spite of that, there's an emptiness. My next question is very similar, and it's, if you trust in the Lord, does that mean that bad things will never happen to you? Hands up yes, hands up no. Let's look at what the passage says. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now, you know what? If you are this tree, this beautiful, flourishing thing that trusts in the Lord, the heat comes still, and there is a year of drought. But in spite of that, there's a joy and there's a peace that transcends, that rises above everything that's going on in the day-to-day. So this is our passage that I want to start with. And I want you all to think and reflect at the moment about what it is that you have placed your trust in. Do you place your trust in God? How much? To what extent? With what parts of your life? Do you trust sometimes in yourself, in other people, in other things? With what? To what extent? Have a moment to reflect. I think all of us, to some extent, do place our trust in things other than God. That's very, very natural. You know, a lot of us, we place some trust in ourselves. So when it comes to exam time, you say, well, yeah, I think, I'll at least, so I'll talk VC for a second and then I'll go to Young Years. You're like, well, you know, I'll at least get a 35 in English because, you know, I've always been really good at English and I'm a really good reader, you know. Or, you know, you're sitting your first exams in year seven, you go, oh, well, I think I'm gonna get at least a B plus in my science test, my science exam, because, you know, I'm really clever with that kind of stuff. A lot of the times we have this trust in ourselves. And that's okay. But the important thing to realize is that everything that you have in yourself ultimately comes from God. Do you know that your intelligence, your beauty, your way of dealing with people, the way that, you know, you're able to just chip the goalie every time you get in a crucial moment in some match, all of those talents, all of those skills, all of your qualities, all the beautiful things in you, do you know who created them? It's the same guy who created everything, God. And we can give thanks for that. But do you know that there will be times where your trust in yourself fails? There are times, I was thinking of an example that I found, so that's all right. There are times where, you know, you'll say, well, I think, yeah, it's pretty reasonable. I'll get at least a 35 in English because I'm pretty good. And then you get a 33. What do you do? You know, there's a time on the soccer match and you're there and you're like, yeah, I've done so many penalties in training. I've got this. And then you miss. Do you know that we as people, who here can stop their hair from turning grey when they get older? No. Who here can add a day to their life or can take one away? No. We as people, we're so limited. And that's why trusting in yourself, it just doesn't work all that well. But we don't just trust in ourselves. Sometimes we trust in our, when it comes to making decisions and things like that, we try and trust in our feelings. Say, well, that doesn't really sit right with me, or, oh, yeah, I think I just feel like this is my passion, this is what I'm called to. Sometimes we trust in our reasoning. We say, well, yeah, if I choose to go this, then I'll be, if I choose to invest in this, then yeah, I'll be making 2.5% per, you should probably think of more youth appropriate examples, but, you know, you might say, oh, I can choose to take this class at school, and then that way, that's an easy one, so I'll free up this and that. We can think not just on our emotions and our reasoning, we can think about trusting other people. You know, our parents, our friends, our role models. We can think, you know, well, that person gave me this advice, or this person said they'd look after me here. We can place all of our trust in these different people. But I want to tell you tonight that placing your trust in yourself, in any other person, in your wisdom, in your emotions, it can fail you. All of them can fail you. But there is one thing, if you trust in, that will never fail you, and that's God. I want to just point your attention to this verse just after verse 8, which is verse 9. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure probably isn't the best translation. It's desperately wicked in the original text. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? A lot of the times, what you feel in your heart of hearts, whether it's about this particular friendship, this particular relationship, you know, how you're going to talk to your parents when they tell you to do this and that, all of those things, your heart, your emotions can actually betray you. Because do you know what the Bible teaches about our heart? It teaches that when Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered the world, all of our hearts became a bit broken, a bit twisted, a bit rebellious towards God. And they can trick us. A lot of the times, we might have desires, we might have things that we want to do, and it comes purely from an evil place, because that's part of what sin does in our heart. We may have a desire to do this, but it may come completely from a worldly place, which is where we want to do something that the world would want, but not that God would want. And that's why we've got to be careful of that. But there's a really beautiful, straightforward, no-nonsense verse in Proverbs, as most of Proverbs is, no-nonsense. And it just says very simply, you know what, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. If you trust in yourself, you're a bit of an idiot. That's basically what the author of Proverbs is saying. But those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Does anyone know, and this time I will actually let someone answer, does anyone know how Proverbs defines wisdom? What the beginning of wisdom is? What's the beginning of wisdom as defined by the author of Proverbs? Fear. Amen. Fear of the Lord. Thank you. That actually, the wisest thing that you can do, so some of you might be thinking, fear of the Lord, what, like God's scary? We shouldn't be scared of God, God loves us. And you're absolutely right. What fear of the Lord means is that we say, hey, actually, there's a God there who knows and sees everything, who I am completely responsible to, and I need to live my life in a way that honors God, because he's there, he's watching. That's what fear of the Lord is, and that's the path of wisdom. So actually, that's how Proverbs positions us to see it. That we got to live our life not just trusting in ourselves, but saying, hey, what does God want, and living our lives that way. There's a passage in James 4, if we could put the map down. From verse 13. And James basically says this, and he's talking to Christians, and he says, for those of you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, we'll make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. All of us fall into this trap, me included. We can say, yep, so now that I've finished year 12, my plan is I'm going to study physiotherapy, and then I'm going to work a couple of years in private practice, and then I'm going to open up my own clinic, and then I'll, after a few years in that clinic, I'll have enough capital, and I'll be able to get this and that clinic, and then I'll start my physio empire. I know that's what Monica was thinking, that's a joke. So a lot of the time we can think like that. We can make all these plans for ourselves. But what James is saying here is, hey, you can't trust in yourself. You can't. Because you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you know all of us could be hit by a bus tomorrow? You might be thinking, well, I never cross the road. Buses drive into your house? No, you've got to watch out. You know, that we can't, and it's a sobering thing for a lot of, it's a very serious thing for a lot of us. But it's true that all of us, we don't know what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow. Just like we talked about in camp even, you know. Jesus is going to return as well. We don't know when that's going to happen either. There's a couple of other verses, you know, that illustrate the same kind of thing. You know, where this inner psalm says, some trust in chariots and horses, but I will trust in the Lord. Do you know, in the time of King David, which is when the Psalms were written, if you had a chariot or a horse, that's like top line military equipment. You know, that a lot of the time when you read all the accounts of the battles, they'll be like, and this army, they have like 400 chariots. And to anyone reading at the time, that's like war. You guys hear about the F-32 or whatever, the stealth aircraft that costs like however many hundred million? You know, that's what chariot horses are. And Israel, they were always the little guy. And they were always getting in fights with all these big empires and big countries. And King David is, you know, the king of this country, who's God has tasked with protecting everyone. He says, yeah, I see these big armies with all their horses and chariots. Meanwhile, they had no chariots. They have horses, but no chariots. And, you know, David says, you know what, I don't care because I trust in the Lord. I don't trust in what I can physically see. I trust that there is a God above and that He will look after me. Think about what that looks like in your own life. God is the one for us to place our trust in. Now, I want to ask you something very simple. Who loves you more, you or God? Hands up for equal, hands up for you, hands up for God. Are you sure? But like, God doesn't just love you, like God loves everyone. So, you know, he'll take into consideration other people when he's dealing with you, right? Isn't that right? No? You guys are all looking at me? No. Yeah, you're exactly right. No. That God loves you specifically, so, so much that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. That's what the Bible says. That even if no one else on earth existed other than you, Jesus would have come down and have been whipped and flogged and beaten and had a crown of thorns and would have been crucified just for you. That's how much God loves you. So God actually loves you more than you love yourself. And when I say love yourself, I'm talking about you say, you know, I want a good life for myself. I want a good wife or husband. I want a good job. I want to have a lot of fun. I want to not worry about money and be comfortable. I want to eat the best food, all this kind of stuff. That's how you love yourself, that you care about yourself, right? That God actually cares about you specifically more than you care about yourself. So God loves you more than you love yourself. I want to ask you another question. This one's much easier, which is, who's wiser? Who knows more, you or God? God, right? God actually knows everything. And God created everything. And God sees everything. So God knows everything way more than you do. And my third question is, who has more power to intervene in the world, to change things in the world? Is it you or God? God. What power do you have? You're a person. God is God. So God loves you more than you love yourself. He knows everything, and He has all this power. So who do you think can take care of you better, you or God? The answer overwhelmingly is God. God loves you more, He knows everything more, and He has way more power. So He will take care of you way better than you ever could. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that an encouraging thing? There's a very kind of straight up thing in Numbers where Moses is talking to the people, and it's kind of really like, can we really trust this God fella? He's been making all these promises to us about going to the promised land and all this kind of stuff, and yet we're in the desert and it's pretty miserable. Can we really trust God? And this is what it says. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't lie, ever. And nor a son of man that he should change his mind. God doesn't change his mind. If he promises something, he's not going to be like, no, God doesn't do that. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? You can trust God. So with this in mind, how about we look at some promises that God makes to you? How about we do that? There's one that a lot of us would have heard and may have seen on Facebook on a nice graphic. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Who believes that tonight? Can I get an amen? Amen.
That's right.
Oh,
amen.
Well, amen, because I don't trust you guys. That's a promise that God has for us. But that's not the only promise. Can we open up Romans 8 and scroll down to verse 28? And while you're doing that, let's unpack that for a bit. God's plans for you, it's not something he's doing on the fly. He actually has those plans for you. And a lot of the time, you know, you might think, well, God, surely he takes other things into account other than just me. But no, he says, I have plans for you. Not for, you know, 21st century Australia, not for, you know, the Tuckler family. No, it's for you. It's specifically for you. So God has plans specifically for you, and they're plans to prosper you, never to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future. It's a vision of exactly what we read at the start, also in Jeremiah, of this flourishing tree by the side of the water that is bearing all this fruit and is lush and green no matter what life throws it. So let's read Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is a promise for every person who loves God. Now, what does it mean to love God? To love God is something very simple. It means that you place your trust in him and then you follow him. You live the way that Jesus taught to live. That's what it means to love God. So you, yourself, you can very easily know tonight, do I love God or not? Do I trust him? And do I live in a way that follows the way that he taught I should live? And if the answer is yes, if you do love God, then wow, wow, wow. God works for your good. God's tinkering in all these things throughout day-to-day life, throughout the big schemes of history. God is working for your good. What a beautiful thought that is. There's something that we need to understand, and that's that the way that God works for us isn't just limited to the New Testament and the New Covenant, where Jesus did this thing on the cross, and then God was like, all right. But this is something actually that was established ages and ages ago, even with the covenant with Adam, you could argue. And in Deuteronomy 7:9, it says this. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Wow. We see exactly the same thing written in Romans, in Deuteronomy. And that's that if you love God and you follow his commandments, not only does God bless you and keep in relationship with you, but he'll bless you to 1,000 generations. What an amazing thought that is. So what do we do with all this information? What do we do with all this teaching? Right? So we know that all of us throughout our life, we end up trusting someone with something whenever something comes up or we have to make a decision. We know that the best person to trust is God, and that actually God gives us all these amazing promises for us to trust him. That he's always working for us, that he's always trying to establish for us a hope and a future. So what do we do with all this? It's a really, really simple couple of verses in Proverbs. Let's open up to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And some of you will know it by Colin Buchanan's song. And it's a very beautiful couple of verses. It just says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's this idea of complete trust. That just as Shandy, when he was up here, you know, he could have fallen back. And Shandy's a pretty tall guy. By the time he would have hit the ground, his head would have been going maybe 5 meters per second. Hits the ground with a pretty decent force. He's got a pretty heavy head. And then bam, gets a bleed in his brain. He's off the emergency. He's in ICU. He's dying next week. It's a very sad life. But what did Shadi do? Shadi actually chose to do it anyway. And the reason that he chose to do it is he knew that there was someone who loved him, who was standing right behind him, and that person had the power to stop that from happening. Do you know that God loves you and has the power to look over you every step of your life? So do you know what you can do? You can trust him with all your heart. All your heart, you can trust him. And that's something really easier said than done. And a lot of you have gone through much harder times in life than I have. But this is, you know, the beautiful encouragement and challenge that we have in these couple of verses, that we can trust the Lord with all our heart and we can lean not on our own understanding. That sounds a bit weird. What that means is don't depend on how you think. So you may think a certain way. Shadi may have thought, oh, I mean, what's the point? You know, I risk going to hospital and dying, and yet there's no benefit for me at all. So what's the point? I shouldn't do it. That's Shadi's understanding. But he did it anyway. So we trust completely in God. We don't lean on our own understanding. It doesn't mean that we don't have our own understanding. God created your reasoning and your intellect and your brain, and he created it for you to use it. So use it, but don't lean on it and don't be limited by it, because God is above and beyond that. And we see that time and time again throughout Scripture, where people thought specific things were going to happen, and then boom, God blew it out of the water. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Wow. So that means at school, when you're hanging out with your friends and they're all swearing, and you say, actually, God, I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm not going to swear today. It means that, you know, when your parents say, hey, can you get up and help me take the shopping inside? And you say, yeah, Mom, I love you, I'll do it. You're acknowledging God, because God says, honor your father and mother. It's all these things that in actually everything that you do, in all of your ways, you acknowledge him. And what's the benefit from that? What's the consequence of that? He'll make your path straight. He'll actually order your life so that it is walking exactly in God's plan. And do you know that God's plan is what? It's to prosper you and to give you hope in the future. It's actually the best thing. Does anyone know what John 10:10 says? Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. But that's what it looks like when God is ordering your life. That you actually have the best life ever. Doesn't mean it's an easy life. It doesn't mean it's a life free of suffering or pain. It doesn't mean it's a life free of that drought, that dry heat. But it does mean that it is the best possible life for you, because God knows you, loves you, and is looking over you. So that's my challenge tonight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. For those of you who've just finished year 12 and you're facing the, you know, big thing of university degrees and what to do, trust God with that. For those of you who are finishing university, taking your next steps into careers, trust God with that. For those of you who are in a stage of life where you don't know what the next step is, trust God with that. For those of you who are in school, and even though your day-to-day is routine, there are things that come up and you don't know what to do, trust God with that. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, he'll make your path straight. How do we do this? It comes down to three main things. Number one is that we deepen our relationship with God. Do you know that it's really, really hard to trust a stranger? Is God a stranger to you tonight? In order to be able to trust God, we need to deepen our relationship with him. We need to read his word and understand more about it. We need to be always praying and receiving from God, seeing what he has to say to us and what we can say to him. Deepen your relationship with God. To be able to hear him and therefore trust him, you need to spend a lot of time in prayer. In Philippians 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That actually, when you pray, just when you pray, and what it says here is you present your requests with prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So that means, hey God, I thank you that you got me through the end of year 12 safely, and I just pray that, you know, you put me in the university course that you want for me, and by the way, I really want to do physiotherapy, you know? And when you pray that prayer, do you know what happens? That God actually guards your heart and mind, the peace that transcends all understanding. That you actually just have this trust in your heart, like, yeah, God, I trust you with that. That's fine. I feel completely at peace now. And that is the second thing. So first thing is deepen your relationship with God. Second is spend a lot of time in prayer so you can receive that peace from God and develop that trust. And the third thing is, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Be a follower of Jesus. Learn how God wants you to live your life. Be in relationship with Him. And He will help you to follow Him in even the hardest situations. When you have this temptation come, you're able to resist because God is with you. When you're faced to make this choice to do something good but really difficult, God will give you the courage and the strength to do it. Those are the three challenges I have for you tonight. That in order to trust God with your life and to live this beautiful, abundant life with Him, deepen your relationship with Him, spend a lot of time in prayer and receive from Him, and in all of your ways acknowledge Him and follow Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us, who designed each of us, Lord, and created us so perfectly and beautifully, Lord. I just pray for each of the young people here tonight, Lord. We all have so much potential. We all have so much, Lord, to offer others and to offer you. I pray, God, that you would not let even one person in this room fall away from you, Lord. That we'd all be in such deep relationship with you, Lord, being transformed to the glory of glory, and in a life of trust with you, Lord, that we would flourish as this beautiful tree and bear fruit for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you let us have such a satisfying, joy-filled, peace-filled lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.